This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Talk with me, Aldrin St-Pierre. So for the next few minutes, we'll be in conversation with Mbali Ntuli, who is the Democratic Alliance's candidate for federal leader. She has resumed her campaign. Remember that she suspended her campaign because of COVID-19. We're going to have a chat about what impact that could have had on the campaign itself and whether Mbali is able to gauge, you know, considering that the elective conference is coming up in October, whether she's able to gauge right now whether she does have the support to become the leader of the Democratic Alliance. At the moment, as it stands, Mbali will be taking on John Steenhuisen, who's the current interim leader of the Democratic Alliance, and then you also have John Moody, the DA Gauteng leader, who has said that he's also putting his name in the hat. And I'd like to hear from you, 061-987-000, whether you think that somebody like Mbali Ntuli stands a chance of leading the Democratic Alliance, or if you are one of those people who have a vision for the Democratic Alliance, what does that vision look like? 061-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St-Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Mbali, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Aldrin. Thank you so much for having me.
How does it feel resuming the campaign? Because COVID-19 is still there.
It feels good. I think, you know, I've waited until level 3 when I thought that it was appropriate and that we all sort of have got to grips with COVID-19. I obviously suspended it because I felt it would have been inappropriate to carry on focusing on a personal campaign when the whole country was trying to come to grips with this pandemic. But now it's really good to be back in the game and to hopefully in the next few weeks tell people what my offer is and what I think we need to do as the party to go forward. It's been a long 2 months of sitting on the sidelines, and obviously that's given my opponent, Mr. Steenhuisen, a bit of an advantage, but there's nothing I like more than a challenge, so I'm excited. Yep.
Okay, so sitting on the sidelines, what do you think you would have lost out on?
Well, I think there's certainly time, and I think the more people see someone, I mean, Mr. John has had the opportunity of hosting CoronaCast. He's been the only person communicating on party stances on COVID and everything, which is obviously his role as interim leader. But I think certainly the more people see you, the more it entrenches in their mind that you are already the leader. So I think I've lost the tactical advantage that I had in the beginning when he had just sort of started his interim leader term. As much as I would have been starting my campaign. But as I say, nothing could be done about it. And I think that it's appropriate now that I resume the campaign so people don't think that there isn't an alternative offering on the table.
Because at some point, I actually thought that does this mean that Mbali Ntuli is out of the race? Because while we have digital platforms and so forth, I didn't see your voice. I thought that maybe she has thrown... she's thrown out the towel and she's like, no, I can't do this anymore. Let's leave this out and we'll use COVID-19 as the excuse. Honestly, that's what I thought, because and that's another sentiment that you would need to deal with, I think, as you start this campaign as well.
No, I don't think so. I think people could understand that there would have been no point of me trying to talk at the same time as the party was trying to put forward its own messaging. It just would have been messy and would have been seen, in fact, as undisciplined and very self-serving. So not only did I think it was inappropriate because of what South Africans are going through, but I think it's also important that, you know, you give the party a chance when something like this happens to come together and decide what they want to say about certain things. There are obviously some COVID stances that I didn't agree with, but it would have been counterproductive to also be someone who wasn't campaigning but still campaigning against the party in that moment. So I think people understand that certainly internally that it was the right and disciplined things to do, but now I've resumed, and so now I have the space to obviously put my opinion on things that I think we need to be talking about.
And what are those things?
Well, firstly, as I said in my video when I relaunched yesterday, I think we need to be unambiguous and clear about where we stand on issues of economic and social justice. I think over the last few years, the DA has been a bit muddled when it comes to speaking about what we believe when it comes to redress issues. Whether that's something like spatial planning, it's our policies on land or BEE, I think that we now as a party need to come together and really determine what we believe is the way to go forward. And as I said, for myself, as leader, I don't think that we can run away from this fact that in this country, poverty still has a color, and we can't hide behind the fact that despite the state's failing for the 26 years that it's, you know, had the ability to do something about it, that the DA is going to use that as only, hiding mechanism. We now need to put plans on the table of how we're going to fix this. And some of the things definitely are unfairly disadvantageous to the Democratic Alliance because we aren't in government, but that's a challenge that we need to rise to. And I don't believe that young South Africans in particular, of all races, are looking for a party that's going to give them any excuses or a party that's going to say things like, let's fix education, something that's going to take at least another 20 years. We have to put things on the table now. And that's what I want to be talking to the party about. How do we get employment to start increasing? How do we talk about the racial isolation that our races have in this country and have those conversations? How do we integrate into spaces together without, you know, pretending to be kumbaya-ish? But there's definitely a role that we should be playing in that. And I think that we've shied away from that sometimes.
Okay, so dealing with the issue of poverty has a color. If you look at the Democratic Alliance's discussion documents or policy discussion documents, it doesn't put a color to poverty. So how then do you deal with that, considering that there would be a policy already in place, and here you have a leader who potentially comes in and is arguing against that policy position?
Well, this is the thing. We don't have a policy position that says that. We have some discussion documents that we must still discuss, which is also why I believe that we can't have an online Congress because of the ability to have those discussions in an in-depth manner. Instead, what we'll have is a 50-second Congress where people just vote for the leader without us having these tough discussions around policy. And I think until, you know, we have voted as a DA that that's the way we're going, everything's up for grabs. And that's why I'm putting an alternative offer to say that, in fact, poverty does have a color. That's something that we don't have to be shy about or run away from. It doesn't make us any liberal or any less liberal, as some people seem to think. In fact, it makes us very alive to the realities of South Africans. And that's the only way we can start to deal with some of the issues that we are confronted with. And saying that poverty also has a color doesn't mean that you believe that there aren't white people, particularly young white people, who also aren't left out and excluded from opportunities and the economy. But that's what we have to talk about. But we're not going to do that if we're going to try and start by believing that everyone's starting from the same place. And if the Democratic Party is not going to work from that way, I just don't think that the vast majority of South Africans of all races are going to believe that we're a party that can actually govern.
Okay, so with the policy discussion document, and you're saying that the party hasn't taken a policy position as yet, some may argue that there is a position, although it may not be documented, that the party is articulating that position currently as well. But when it comes to the policy document, for instance, how then do you deal with that specific situation? Are you then arguing that let's go through the policy policy conference first, deal with these issues before we get to an elective conference where we all get to be amongst each other?
Yes, happening, and every single member should have the ability to also put forward what they believe are their resolutions and their proposals of how these things work, because it's also ridiculous to assume that just because somebody is a leader, they have the answers on every single policy proposal or platform that we could possibly have as a party. That's why I don't believe that it is in our best interest to just go to an elective conference as is being, advanced by our current leadership. I think that robs being able to have these discussions. But more importantly, it puts us as a party back where we were when we lost votes in 2019, which is a position where we haven't got policies that we can all get behind because we haven't discussed. So it's less about trying to determine the outcome, but to get through the process of actually having proper conversations about these things. And if people decide we're going one way, then that's the way we go. But we can't at the moment just go towards a certain direction because, you know, an interim leader has the advantage of saying what he thinks is right.
Okay. So right now, what's happening with the policy conference?
As it stands, we are still having those discussions within the party. On the 25th and 26th of July, we will have our federal council where we will vote about whether or not we are also going to be having our online Congress and then determine what the rest of the processes, including the policy conference, will be happening. There, and I'll be advancing the positions that I'm outlining now. And I'll be asking many people in the party who agree with me to also try and get their federal council reps to vote the same way.
Mm. So the plan as it is at the moment is that you will have the elective Congress going ahead, and this would be going ahead even before the policy conference.
It would be going ahead on the 31st of October and the 1st of November. And ideally, it would have been happening after the policy conference. But because of COVID, there are many things up in the air. My personal feeling is that we should wait to have this done properly. But obviously, there are people with counter feelings. I think the party should go into the policy or the online Congress now.
Okay. Let's deal with those aspects. Why is it important for you, or based on your arguments, that the online Congress be suspended?
Well, because as it's proposed, the online conference will literally be like sending an SMS or an email to say who you vote for leader. And I think that Congresses are about far more than just electing leaders. They're about actually getting to the heart of what the party believes strategically is the best interest in terms of policy and in terms of strategy going forward. And you can't do that online. You can't have 2,000 people on a Zoom call with the kind of geography that we have in South Africa, the kind of disparity that we have in income, and expect that everyone's going to be able to log on for that long and have fruitful and meaningful discussions. It just isn't going to happen. And I think that given our own review report that said that we have to have these difficult conversations, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to go through this pain to get out on the other side. But if we just put a plaster over the wound by just electing a leader without giving them a mandate of what we believe as a party should be our policies going forward, all you're going to have is a leader that does anything that they want. And I think that that's the wrong thing to do. And I don't think that South Africa can afford for the opposition to fail. So that's what I think we'll be doing if we just have simply an online Congress, which will be 60 seconds of yes or no, Bali or John.
Yeah, but what impact would that then have on the party, considering that we have the local government elections coming next year?
The online Congress or what I'm calling for?
If for instance you say the online Congress should be suspended, we have a local government elections coming next year, and with having an interim party leader without a clear mandate as well from a policy conference side of you, how do you see this play out?
From the federal council and has almost had a year to be leading without anybody taking issue with it. And we have no vacancy at the top leadership structures at the moment. And luckily, we've also had our own local government policy direction for some time now. So I don't think that that's as big a deal, specifically also because so many of the local government aspects are actually quite regionalized and localized, where we have the kind of leadership that can take that on board. But I just think that on issues of national importance and the way that the party goes forward, we can afford to wait and to really have a proper Congress where we have a proper deliberation on all our policies.
Okay. 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Alderan St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at Power FM 97. We're in conversation with Mbali Ntuli, the Democratic Alliance candidate for federal leadership. The Congress is scheduled to take place on the 31st of October and on the 1st of November as well. She has now made it clear why she is against the idea of having the Congress going ahead now, especially considering that it'll be happening online. 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Alderan St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at Power FM 987.
Alderan St. Pierre, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
A tweet here from Entlo says that I'm not a Democratic Alliance person. Godo Mbali can get my vote. She is such a force, young, focused, and speaks her mind. And there's a tweet here from Kind Hearted Men who says, Madume to you, Aldrin, Power and the Power team and Power listeners. I personally hold the view that the Democratic Alliance only exists for the preservation of white privilege. To sustain that, it relies partially on black voters. Your guest has the right to disagree. Mbali?
Well, I do disagree. I think that there are many people in the Democratic Alliance that really want to build a South Africa where everyone can feel that they belong and have the ability to access opportunities.
Hi, Mbali, are you there? Okay. Can we try and get Mbali on a different line? So we have Mbali Ntuli, Democratic Alliance, a candidate for federal leadership. And we're having this conversation after she announced that she is relaunching her campaign, resuming her campaign. This is campaign to become the leader of the Democratic Alliance, the Congress taking place at the end of October. Let's try again. Mbali?
I am here. Can you
okay,
hear me?
Yes. So, yeah, you can go
ahead
now.
I think my big ear muted my phone. I was saying that I do disagree with your last tweet that you just read out, because I think that there are many people in the Democratic Alliance that actually are working very hard to try and build a South Africa where everyone can feel that they belong and have opportunities. But I won't deny that certainly some comments by a certain of our leaders at times have given the impression that...
Like what comments?
Well, I think we've had some leaders that have tweeted some things that are incredibly insensitive to the realities of people of color in this country and how far we've actually all had to come. And I think that those are exactly the kinds of things that take us backwards as the Democratic Alliance, that give the impression that we are a white party. But there's no way to change that unless, you know, you give people an alternative view of what the party could be. And that's what I'm trying to do now.
Are you referring to Helen Ziller there?
I'm referring to Helen and a number of other people who I think have tweeted some things that don't give the best impression of everyone in our party. But Helen is not the party, as I said, and that's what's important about my race, I think. I think it's to show that there's many more other people that don't share some of those views.
Yeah. We can all agree that Helen is not the party, but she's almost the face of the party, considering that she was previously the leader of the party and now federal council chair as well. So she does give the impression of this is the face of the Democratic Alliance, and this is what the Democratic Alliance stands for. Don't you agree with that?
No, because here I am trying to be the face of another part of this party. So, like I say, I think that...
But you are not currently leader of the Democratic Alliance, not even federal council chairperson of the Democratic Alliance. And the federal council chairperson is tweeting whatever she's tweeting. Does that not give the impression that, indeed, the Democratic Alliance is a party for white people and the preservation of white privilege?
Well, I think when our interim leader is unable to rein Helen in, then certainly it does. But when you have leaders like myself and others who may not hold those positions but are equally able to say that they are equal members of standing in this party who say something else, then that also gives the impression that there are many of us who do not share that.
And what does this cause? What's the implication of it?
Well, I think that the implication is that we lose votes and we lose the trust and confidence of South Africans, who then start to believe that we are a white party. But you have to counter that. And as I said, that's what I'm trying to do and what I think many people in the party will hopefully support me, because they'll see that that's something we need to counter quite aggressively, because it's not what we believe.
Okay. If you were leader right now, what would you have done?
In terms of?
The Helen Ziller tweets.
Oh, I would have immediately distanced the party from Helen Ziller's tweets. I would have said unequivocally that that's not what we stand for. And I myself would have referred her to the FLC rather than waiting for junior members of the party to do so. I think that that's what the leader needs to do, aside from having had, you know, a strong conversation with someone like Ziller. But I spoke to Ziller a week ago and I said to her quite clearly that I thought perhaps it was time for her to retire, because I think that there definitely is a shelf life sometimes to how much good a leader can do in that position without making themselves and their personality become everything that the party seems to be, as you said. And I think that it's a sacrifice that needs to be done, because this is not about any one person's contribution. It's about the entire DA.
Okay. Does this mean that if she stands for federal council chairperson again, you would not be supporting her?
Well, I didn't vote for Zilla last time.
Yeah. And this time around, also not.
I can't see that she would be a better candidate than Mike Mariotti, who has put up his hand and I think has some very interesting and uniting points behind him and, you know, platform that he's running for.
Okay. 0619870000. Unfortunately, I'm going to ask you to be short, sharp, and straight to the point. Terry, let's start off with you. Good morning.
Hey, morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good, Terry.
Fine. I just want to say to Sisimbali, guys.
Yeah, Pelu Jan.
I'll support more breads. There are some branches here So we support Tanza DA, but the problem is that we can grab some more information about you. Okay, we focus too much on KZN and Le Haute. And there are a lot of people here in North West that they support you.
Okay, thank you, Terry. We'll get Mbali to respond to that. Clive, quickly, good morning.
Good morning. Quick one, Aldrin and Sis Mbali. It was Mampele Rampele, Patricia Tilil, Mazibugo, Musi Maimani. These people that you are now, what will make you different, with all respect?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much, Mbali. Unfortunately, you've got a minute to answer all of that.
Thanks. To Speaker Okala, I think that that's why it's important that I've resumed my campaign. I'm aware that there are places that I haven't been able to penetrate yet, and that's my plan, is to get everywhere in the next few months. So the last speaker, I think, you know, I've been in the party longer than any of those members. I understand it better, but we're also different people. And so this is something that I've chosen to do. No one's pushed me. And, you know, it's a voluntary organization that I joined. And I think that everyone who you mentioned had very different reasons for why they felt that they could no longer continue in the Democratic Alliance. And that's their choice. But I think that we all have to understand that we're individuals. And for me, I feel very committed to the fact that I can still help with the support of all our members to change the DA into a party where everyone will feel that they belong and a party that fights for everyone.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, Mbali Ntuli there. Democratic Alliance candidate for federal leader. The Congress is scheduled for the 31st of October and the 1st of November.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.